It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's time for California Wine Country on Wine Wednesday. It is brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofola and the Beverage People. Our guest today, along with Dan Berger, of course, my co-host, is Clark Smith, winemaker for Diamond Ridge Vineyards. He's got Winesmith Cellars. He's a professor. The guy does it all, and he's got a new book called Postmodern Winemaking. He is Clark Smith. Hi, Clark.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And he's also part of the Redwood Cordsmen who come in here from time to time. And they get about 12, 15 guys in here, and they sing their asses off.
You know, Dan's a barbershopper, too. He's a pretty good bass.
Seriously?
I used to do that a long time ago.
Yeah, I think we'll wait unless you can practice a lot before they come back in again.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do. We'll get you guys back soon.
Great.
It's always
That's
a
great.
Kick.
We'd love to promote that Youth Harmony Day Camp like we had last year. The kids went crazy.
And we will do that. Clark, talk about your history in the wine world, and it's pretty intense, I think.
Well, in a nutshell, I dropped out of MIT in 1971 and wandered out to California, got a job in a liquor store.
From MIT to the liquor store. You got to love it.
I couldn't choose a major. There were just too many great things to do, so I thought I'd go out and kind of find myself, you know. So I wandered out to Oakland, and it's, you know, here I am at the register. A guy walks up with a bottle of Palmasan Emerald Dry and asked me if it was any good, and I said, I have no idea. So I took the bottle home. It was okay. And next thing I knew, I'd tasted every wine in the store, and I sold.
Preferably not on the same day.
Well, we didn't take our time. And then, so I sold wine for 5 or 6 years in the Bay Area. And then I made my first wine in 1976. And that changed everything. I thought I knew stuff. But as soon as I made a wine, oh, my God.
Now, did you train at all? Did you go to
Davis? What I did was I decided that I really need to make wine. And at that time, it was possible to know every winemaker in the United States, and I did. And I was up at Bill Fuller's place, and he said, you know, I was on the way out of Tualatin, and I said, I got to do this. And so I went to Viterkrest, and I was a cellar master there for 3 years, and then went back to Davis and finished up the bachelor's and the master's.
Cool.
And then I started a winery called R.H. Phillips in 1982, and we took that from 3,000 to 300,000 cases over the course of 7 years. And then I hung out a shingle as Winesmith Consulting, and that's what I've been doing ever since. Did little inventing along the way of some new winemaking processes, but
Of patents?
Yeah. It's easy to get a patent in the wine industry. Nobody ever wants to do anything new.
I'm looking at a website that says, Who is
ClarkSmith.com?
ClarkSmith.com.
Yeah. Yep. It's all there. So, you know, I make my own wines. I consult for about 120 wineries. I write. I lecture. I give classes. I've taught about 4,500 winemakers the fundamentals of modern wine chemistry. And then I make a lot of music. I got a CD coming out of songs about the real wine industry.
A solo thing?
Uh-huh.
Or you got
the
boys?
Well, no, we got all
you.
Kinds of people in it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But I wrote everything.
You're going to have to come back and talk about that, and we'll listen to some. His new book is Postmodern Winemaking. Clark Smith will talk more about the book. But I want to have Dan discuss what we're doing today. These are like grapes, wines from grapes we've never heard of.
The wine world is infinitely more interesting than Chardonnay, Cabernet, and Pinot Noir. And there's lots and lots and lots of people out there who are buying all the common varietals, but nobody's looking at these other things. I mean, every now and then you pick up a bottle of Chenin Blanc and you taste it. You say, boy, that's really good. I wonder why they don't make more of it. Well, they make it. It's everywhere. You can get it. It's easy. But the problem is that nobody focuses on it. If you walked into a wine shop and say, can you recommend a bottle of wine? They're going to say, well, what style do you like? Do you want something with oak in it or what? I mean, there's just so much out there that you can't even. We had Don Cicazzola on just a couple of weeks ago on this show, and he's talking about white wines from Italy. What a revelation. So this is what Clark's into these days, and I'm really a big, big supporter of what Clark's trying to do. Investigate grape varieties that nobody ever heard of before and that, seriously, in California, you would never see these varieties. I mean, how many acres?
Well, and also styles that, you know, nobody else is doing. I think, you know, for example, my Napa Chardonnay, it's 12.9 alcohol, and the current vintage is 2005.
Current vintage of white wine, you know, 2005.
And it's pretty good stuff. We don't even call it Chardonnay. We call it Faux Chablis. And it's very minerally and doesn't have a lot of oak on it. And it's almost just about ready to drink.
Well, what are these, I'm going to call them odd grapes, these wines that you brought in?
Let me put the whole thing in perspective.
Odd grapes for us here.
There's really two wine industries, and they have nothing to do with each other. There are 64 wineries, over 500,000 cases in the United States, and they make 95% of the volume of wine and 100% of the wine that's sold in stores. So this is just like the music industry. You got Britney Spears and Shania Twain and then 1,000 other bands that play for Capitol Records, and they're on the AM dial, and the AM dial isn't getting any bigger. So that's the...
Except for us.
Except for you, yeah. Right. And then you've got... So that's 64 wineries. Then you have 25,000 wineries that make the other 5%, 500,000 labels, averaging 2,000 cases. And what they have to do, like what I have to do, is to not try to compete with Kendall Jackson and Robert Mondavi and the standard styles. I have to make my own kind of music, just like a barbershop quartet or a church choir or a garage band. They have to have their own sound, totally unique. And so I think every wine I'm going to taste you on here, there's nobody else in California doing it. And you know, they all have to make their own kind of music, too. So that's the background. These people are not on the shelves. You got to go see them.
Any of these in the U.S. or are these all like?
Yeah, sure. Come right down to my office, 441 Beaver Street.
I mean the ones you brought.
Yeah, these are all domestic wines. They're made from.
They're all California grapes. Wines.
For some reason, I thought they were coming from Europe or somewhere else.
No, it's just that. There's so little of it. I mean, how many acres total of this stuff is there?
Well, the whole – it's 2,000 cases, so, you know, we make 12 wines. So, you know, 100 cases, 200 cases each.
So, wow, I didn't realize they were all from here.
And there are literally thousands of wineries that are doing this. But
25,000 wines.
And the grapes are from Sonoma County?
Well, they're from all over California.
All over California.
Okay, yeah,
there's
that makes sense.
Humboldt County here.
Santa Cruz Mountains, Carneros. That one's an Alexander Valley Yolo County blend. This one's from Humboldt.
Well,
this one's from Clarksburg.
So you have to really go far from home to find these varieties. And, I guess you were on the phone all the time saying, what'd you plant last year?
Well, also, you know, you got to get outside of the Napa Sonoma high real estate area to be able to make wines that are affordable for people.
Because the price of land is just so expensive that it's a pointless effort to try to put, say, I don't know, Barbera in the ground in Napa,
right,
when you can sell your Cabernet for $55 or $75 or $200 a bottle. You're never going to get that kind of price for a Barbera, so there's no point in putting it in the ground. So you never see any Barbera from Napa anymore. Hardly.
All right, so grapes from all around California. What's the first one?
Yeah, because my guru, Patrick Ducournau, that taught me in France, he always said that it's you should never speak of wine in its absence. It's gossip. So let's get the wines. Now, this is Santa Cruz Mountain Sparkling Grenache, Brut Zero.
Sparkling.
Yeah. We make a red wine from this vineyard also, and it was actually picked on the same day. Now, let me tell you something about champagne. Champagne, I think Dan will likely agree with me, champagne is the worst white wine in the world.
Really?
It's thin and
I'm not a huge
and
fan.
Sour,
you know.
And it doesn't have any flavor. So we can make much better sparkling wine in California because our grapes are full of flavor. This has got the strawberries from the Grenache and kind of a honeydew melon thing from that's the Bates Ranch kind of signature flavor. But see, here's the thing. We don't have searing acidity, and so there's no reason for us to put sugar in these wines. The only reason Champagne ever got started was it was before World War II, we didn't have any way to make sweet wine. Except for port and sherry and botrytis wines, the only table wine was Champagne, and it was all at least 6% sugar. That's what they call dry. That's twice as sweet as Sutter Home Whites Zinfandel for the dry wine.
Pretty tasty wine, this one.
Yeah.
That's a lovely nose. What year is this?
It's 2014.
14?
Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that that mineral buzz in the back, almost kind of a saltiness. And then it just lingers and lingers and lingers.
Yeah, it's a very rich and sort of creamy-ish aftertaste, but it's got good acidity. It goes great with food, I'm sure. So I didn't know. How much of this did you make? You can't make much of these.
We made about 100 cases.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. This is the stuff you had at our wedding reception.
Mm-hmm. So a 14. Did you say 14?
Yeah.
How long can this go?
Well, it's not really intended for aging. I'd drink it if I were you. But I don't know. I don't know. The thing is, that minerality that's
I love it when the winemaker says, I'd drink it if I were you. Yes, sir. Okay.
The thing is, right now, it's very fresh. It has some age characteristics as well. And I really like it that it's both young and old at the same time. It'll be a different wine if you age it, and it might lose some of that freshness.
Well, it's already aged 5 years, right?
Yeah, but for Santa Cruz, that's not very long.
Okay.
You have to wait those wines out. They really don't taste very good when they're young.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, Della Tofola, and the Beverage People. Dan Berger, of course, and our guest today is Clark Smith. This guy is a massive dude, in my opinion, in the wine world, a winemaker for Diamond Ridge. He has Winesmith Cellars. He's also a professor. And the Winesmith, let's talk a bit about that. The Winesmith Cellars, is that where these are available? Or?
Well, Winesmith Cellars is the name of our brand. You know, Winesmith, okay. You know.
Yeah.
Very clever.
It took me a couple years, but
I
figured it out.
Yeah, and we have an office in downtown Santa Rosa. Because I consult for all these wineries, I have about 8 hosted wineries where I make the wines. And so, and then we just bottle them up and put them at the Sonoma Co-op, and they're available right downtown.
So, recap that first one you had.
Well, that first was a Santa Cruz Mountain Sparkling Grenache Brut Zero.
Wow.
2014.
Okay, and then this one.
This is a red called Saint Laurent. Or it's mostly grown in Austria and the Czech Republic, and they give it the German name Saint Laurent. But it's Saint Lawrence, the guy with the seaway. He was a bishop of Rome, and he was martyred on August 10th of 286 A.D., I believe. And so it used to be, before we had these Brix hydrometers, that they would pick everything on the saints' days. They would say it's illegal for you to go into the vineyard until such and such a saint's day. And I think that was actually a better system than the one we have now, because Brix has nothing to do with ripeness. So anyway, this one is August 10th, so that's really early, and it comes in with low sugar. So the wine only has about 12% alcohol and pretty high acidity, which is a problem for red wines normally, because more acidity means more saliva, and that means more protein that reacts with the tannins. And so with a Bordeaux style, you want the acid to be low so the wine isn't harsh. But for some reason, these tannins have pajamas on them. We don't really know why, but the wine's extremely soft, and I think it's a really nice. It's sort of like a cynical Beaujolais, with a slightly Eastern European personality to it.
Cynical Beaujolais. They're playing Saturday at Hot Monk. Don't forget.
It's got a little bit more weight in the mouth than a Beaujolais, but the flavors are unique to the variety, and so it's
Saint Laurent.
It's sort of grapey.
Yeah, well, part of it is because we put half of the wine through a thermovinification called Flash Détente. Chapter 15 in my book.
Flash Détente. Flash Détente on Sunday at Hot Monk.
Yeah. And so that gives it a brightness, but it also has this earthy side to it. And so I think it's a great wine for, you think of it like a Sancerre, because it's got good acidity. And it's just the perfect wine for sushi or paella or anything like that. And I think it's okay to chill it a little bit.
Dan, what would you compare it? What's the closest thing that this is a red wine?
It's sort of like Beaujolais, except it's really, I mean, Beaujolais is much more tutti-frutti and simple, yeah. And this is more complex. This has got a lot of flavors that are very interesting, but the aftertaste is really dry. It's not, it doesn't lean on any softness. That is to say, it's a really dry wine. And so for people who don't like Beaujolais because it's too simple, this is your wine.
And this is, I'm still confused here.
2015 St. Laurent Winesmith.
All right, St. Laurent.
All the ones I'm pouring today are from Winesmith.
And St. Laurent is not widely grown. In fact, I only know
of one vineyard
in California.
In California.
Where's
that?
You
see it in Minnesota. You see it in
really?
Virginia.
There's 800 hectares in both Austria and the Czech Republic.
I've never heard of that grape. Interesting.
I got Austrian St. Laurent over at the Bottle Barn.
California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn Della Tofola and the Beverage People at thebeverage.com. These folks are amazing. Clark, you hip to what they've been doing since 1980?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I go there all the time.
Yeah, they'll teach you brewing, winemaking, cider making, mead making, all about kombucha and kefir, cheese, olives, everything, man.
They know their stuff.
They're the fermented gods of Sonoma County since 1980. And they're open, by the way, now Sundays 10 to 5 for a few months. And they ship stuff. And they really are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
And for so long, they are the fermentation gods of Sonoma County.
I send people there from all over the country.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Okay. That is Clark Smith with Wine Smith and a bunch of other places, including... Talk about Diamond Ridge.
Diamond Ridge is a wonderful vineyard in the southeast corner of Clear Lake. It's a volcanic soil, so it's kind of like a mountain vineyard, but it's right next to the lake. And Dan will tell you that those wines just capture incredible fruit. A lot of this minerality stuff we're talking about, and they age for a long, long time. I've been making the wines with Jake Stevens up there for 12 years now, and it's really one of the best vineyards in the state.
One of the most surprising things about that whole area is that Cabernet Franc rules.
Yeah.
It can make a fabulous wine, and nobody knows about it. I love it. I love those wines.
And
shall we talk about
Diamond Ridge? Oh, yeah. Norton.
Yeah.
Norton.
Now, this is my wife's favorite wine that I make. And it's not a European variety. It's from Virginia. It was found in the woods.
Norton is the grape.
It's not a Vitis vinifera. It's a Vitis estivalis that's crossed with another species. And we don't know what the other
species. It's an obscure
what the other one was.
Hybrid variety.
But it's not obscure. There's 500 wineries in the United States making Norton. And it makes this dense, rich, plush wine if you can get it right.
Do we have any Norton grapes in Sonoma County?
No.
Or Napa?
No, I think we got three rows in Clarksburg, and I'm kind of cornered the market on California Norton. But there's wineries all over the United States that plant it because it's disease and winter tolerant. But most of the time, it's not in a place where it can really get ripe, and then it has high acidity, and that's a problem.
Where's the name come from?
Norton! Dr. Norton. He originally named it Cynthiana, which is his daughter's name, and then after he died, they named it Norton.
And there are several wineries that are still calling their wine Cynthiana instead of Norton. So if you see a Cynthiana on the shelf, it's also Norton.
Same stuff.
Same thing.
So you could get some Nortons at Bottle Barn.
I seriously doubt it. But that's the problem, is you don't get interesting wine on the retail shelf.
So you, Winesmith made this. You made this.
Yeah, I made all these wines, sure.
Wow.
Well, this is a very strange discovery. And how he comes up with Yolo County fruit in the first place is a whole different thing. You know?
Well, I've been there for a long time.
But that's it. Being in the industry, you know that these vineyards exist, and it just takes somebody with courage to make a wine like this.
If you went to a fancy wine shop and said, "Give me a Norton,"
they wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Seriously.
And and there's hundreds of varieties like that, and thousands, really, that most people have never heard of. You know, they can maybe name a dozen grape varieties, but in the United States alone, there's easily 2,000 grape varieties.
Yeah.
And Norton, Chambersin, and Vignol are the top varieties in the rest of the country.
Chambersin actually blends very nicely with Cabernet Sauvignon, and in New York they make some blends of Cabernet Sauvignon and Chambersin, and they're delicious wines. Mm. You'll never see them out here.
So tell them what we got here, Dan.
So this is a Yolo County.
I mean, what does it taste like?
It tastes like a cross between I don't know. I mean, it's got all this plummy, rich jam fruit,
yeah,
and then it's got this bright front end of fruit on the tongue. You think it's going to have a lot of tannin, but really it's not tannin that you're tasting as much as it is this roundness and this richness.
Well, I think it is tannin, but there's something in here. It's got about 1.5% of polysaccharides that coat the tannins a little bit.
Polysaccharides.
It's like sugar.
Thursday night at Hot Mart.
Well, you know, with microbrew beer, there's a lot of unfermentables in there.
Yeah,
they're not sugars, they're starches, and so something like that.
Oh, okay, all right.
But for whatever reason, it's an extremely dense wine, but very soft.
It's like Petit Sirah or perhaps Petit Verdot in one respect. It's thick and rich
and dark
but it's not aggressive.
Yeah, it looks like plum juice. I can imagine there's some plum flavors in there. Clark Smith is with us. His new book is Postmodern Winemaking, Rethinking the Modern Science of an Ancient Craft. Well, that's a fascinating concept, dude. Explain a bit about postmodern winemaking.
Well, basically, almost everything I believe in now is exactly the opposite of what they taught me at UC Davis. And so I thought I'd better write a book about it. It's a book to winemakers. About, you know, the things that I've learned since 1982. And the first half of the book is highly technical. It's a lot of stuff about wine structure and aromatic integration and just kind of geeky concepts. And I would encourage anybody that's not a winemaker that buys this to just kind of, you know, skim that stuff and get what you get, but don't obsess about understanding every part of it. Once you get to chapter 12, which is winemaking's lunatic heroes, then it gets pretty easy. And it's all downhill from there. I take on the natural wine movement. I take on I defend biodynamics. Kind of take on modern science. And, you know, I just try to make all the enemies I can. And then it ends in something called liquid music, which is about how I really believe that wine cognitively is processed just like music. And stick your nose in that next wine there, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about.
This is a Cabernet Sauvignon-based wine.
It's actually 60 Merlot, 30 Cab. It's a Meritage. And it has all five varieties in it. And it's from northern Humboldt County, from the Ishi Pishi Vineyard. And I will put this wine up against any Napa Cabernet you want to put in front of me.
Really?
Well, it's beautifully made. Clearly, it's got the structure and the oak that you would find in a good $100 wine. But here, the integration of flavors is really very impressive because it's already showing like it's 10 years old, and it's not anywhere near that. So
the grape again?
Well, it's the five Bordeaux varieties: Merlot, Cabernet, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot, and it's the vineyard is 100% organic, so there's no pesticides or herbicides, and I did not use any sulfites.
Really?
And nevertheless, it was able to age in a barrel for 5.5 years. We just bottled it last week. So I think it's an extraordinary example of aromatic integration and soulfulness through good structure. So basically, if once in your life you're going to spend $100 on a bottle of wine, this is a pretty good choice.
And again, all available at winesmith.com?
Winesmithwines.com.
Winesmith Wines.
Go to whoisclarksmith.com, and that links everything together. All the crazy stuff comes together there.
Nice and soft in terms of the tannin structure, but boy, I'll tell you, it's got plenty of good acidity to go with food.
Mm-hmm. And it's also very minerally.
Yep.
Again, Clark's book is Postmodern Winemaking, Rethinking the Modern Science of an Ancient Craft. Looks like a lovely book. Wow.
Okay, so here's dessert in Jurançon in the Pyrenees, and also a little bit north of there in Matteron, they have a grape called Petit Montsaint. And it's a crazy grape. If you know anything about winemaking, normally grapes come in at about 24-25% sugar.
At least smell that.
And with, you know, pHs of 3-5 and relatively low acidity, like 7 or 8 grams per liter. This stuff comes in at 31 Brix without raisins or botrytis.
Orange peel.
This is a pretty busy, unique nose.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. Take a tiny little sip. It's very sweet. But it's really perfectly balanced. It's got nice structure. Talk about putting that with foie gras, something like that. Or
the way you would use a sauterne, chocolate mousse would be a good idea. The French would have it with half-shell oysters, but they're nuts.
I can see this with the raw oysters.
Yeah, it actually works pretty well.
But I'm nuts too. So, what year is this? And
it's actually a sort of a Solera. We made the 17 and kept it in barrel for a year, and then we put in the 18. And so each year we bottled.
You added the 18 to the 17?
Yeah, and then we bottled a dual vintage blend here. Next year it'll be three vintages. And each year we'll be keeping holding back that one barrel, and just adding to it.
So this is a grape variety called Petit Manseng.
Manseng.
Yeah, it grows very popular in Virginia.
Really? Well, the nose is fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's just really.
Well, part of the nose is I fermented it with acacia wood, so there's a. There's a little bit of honeysuckle there. It's from this aromatic wood.
Clark Smith, thanks so much, man. It's great to see you. We'll see you with the Redwood Cordsman and the whole group
you
soon.
You betcha.
The book is Postmodern Winemaking, Rethinking the Modern Science of an Ancient Craft, published by University of California Press and available everywhere where you can find fine
Now, if you
books.
Get on the site and you've listened to this broadcast, I'm going to tell you the promo code that everybody that knows who I am gets 20% off. And that's the promo code is I Know Clark. All caps and no spaces. So I hope you can remember that.
Clark Smith. Thank you, man. And winesmithwines.com.
Winesmithwines.com.
Yes. Fascinating stuff.
Thank you both for having me.
It's always a pleasure, man. We'll see you again soon. Dan Berger. Next week's Tom Simino.
Tom Simino next week?
Yeah. You'll be in, probably.
I might be. Don't know.
All right. Either way, that's it for California Wine Country.